We're teaching and preaching today for a little while. We started a series this past Sunday called Good, Better, Best. Good, Better, Best. And I believe the Word is helping us and challenging us in this season. If you did not get the opportunity to hear last Sunday's message, then I would encourage you to either go to Facebook or YouTube and watch the replay of that service. You may have to scroll down just a few posts if you are on Facebook. If you're on YouTube, you should find it pretty readily. You can watch there, or you can go on to our website and you can listen to the podcast if you want to put that into your cell phone and listen to it while you're mowing the grass or doing some other things. But make sure that you stay up to date with the Word, because one word builds on the other. We talked last Sunday about new wine for new seasons, and today I want to talk about a new you in a new season, a new you in a new season. The belief, the promise, the hope is that God is sovereign even in this season. I know things are chaotic. I know things are upsetting. I know that things are challenging. Again, we get new information every day, and so much of the information impacts our lives, and we are challenged by that. I just saw in the last couple of days where Rockdale County, where I'm sure many of us do plenty of business, or maybe eat in restaurants, or maybe do some shopping. Rockdale County made mask mandatory for anyone 8 years or older. And so you got to juggle and figure out, all right, how do I do this? How do I get all of this together? Making sure that if I'm going here, then I'm getting covered and protecting others and protecting myself. But it seems like the information is always changing, and we know that God is sovereign. It's what we've said from the beginning of this pandemic, is that God is going to get the glory from this somehow and some way. We know that the best is still yet to come. We know the world is changing, but we do not look at what's next with suspicion. We look with expectation. And I know that's a mouthful, because immediately something in your heart, something in your mind pushes back and argues with that statement. No, I'm looking at what next with all kinds of suspicion. I'm plenty suspicious about what is to come. And I understand if I think like the world, that is going to be my response. If I think like my favorite news station tells me to think like, that's going to be my response. But if I make sure that I am dialed into the Word of God, if I make sure that I am staying faithful to the house of God and to the things of God, then my filter is going to be faith and spiritual things and God things. And so my first thought is not going to be suspicion. It's going to be expectation. What is it that God wants to do in this new season? How is it that God wants to work in this new season? Because while I have known Him to work in my past, God is not just a God of the past. When you talk about yesteryear, when you talk about the good old days, when you talk about how great church used to be, hear me, God is not just the God of your past. He is the God of your future. And does anybody believe that He is less powerful today than He was yesterday? No, the Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just as powerful today as He was yesterday. That means however good it was back then, it can be that good right now if I'll look with expectation. However awesome he was back then, he can be that awesome in my future. That's why I'm going from good to better to best. I'm not sliding off. I'm not backsliding. I'm not getting worse. I'm getting better with every day that happens in my life. It's easy to see God's goodness when you turn around and look back over your life. But by faith, we see God's goodness in our future. It's good, better, best. But sometimes it is difficult to navigate transitions from old to new. This is what we started working through this past Sunday, so I encourage you to catch up if you need to. And Jesus taught us a parable about how this works. He said, I know this is going to be a challenge for you. I know this is going to be a difficult concept for you, so I want to help you with this. He did that in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 36. He also told them a parable. He said, no one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled. And the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new. For he says, the old is good. So we work to establish, and I'm going to break this down over the next few moments that we have together. But we work to establish something last week, and that is that God has new wine for new seasons. But how is it that we experience new wine? How is it that we taste this new wine? Or how is it that we experience God creating something new in our lives or even for our church? And in this message today, I'm going to talk to you about three things to focus on, three things that we should focus on to receive new wine in a new season, or to become a new you in a new season. So I want you to get your paper out. I want you to prepare to take some notes with me, because I believe this is going to help you. But remember, last week we said that wine is symbolic of joy, or symbolic of God's presence or God's blessing. But it's also symbolic of God's abundance. You know, if you're drinking the good stuff, you've got a little money because the good stuff costs. Now, if you're off in that Mad Dog 2020, you know, oh, Pastor, how you know about that? Listen, I've been around a little while. If you're drinking the good stuff, it's going to cost. So it's representative. It's symbolic of God's abundance. I've received his abundance in my life. And here's the reality. We don't have to live in fear that what we've experienced in the past is the summation or the end of what God has for us. That's why I challenged you a moment ago that if God was good to you in those good old days or in those bygone years, you don't have to believe that those were the best years and that's as good as it was ever going to be, and it's just downhill from there, because you have not experienced the end of God's goodness or his blessing or his joy or his abundance. So the parable isn't just about new, it's also about more. That's important, because we talk about new. Remember, last Sunday, we kind of pushed back on the new normal idea. I'm not wanting a new normal. I'm wanting a new word. I'm wanting a new move. I'm wanting a new anointing. I'm wanting a new touch from God. So it's not just about new. It's about more, because the wineskin may run out, but the wine doesn't. The wineskin may get old, the wineskin may get lazy, but that doesn't mean that the wine has run out. Miracles are on the way. More of God's goodness is available. I'm belaboring that point, and I don't want to hold on it too long, but I need to break through the calcification of negativity. I need to break through the brick and the mortar and the walls that so much negative news builds up in our hearts and builds up in our minds, trying to scale that wall to find out where that little touch of faith is in your heart and where it is in your mind, to get you to believe that however good it was a year ago, however, I mean, we all were cursing 2019, couldn't wait to get to 2020 until 2020 showed up. Man, 2019, as glad as we were to get out of it, that's looking like the best year of our lives. When you look at 2020 in comparison, man, just imagine what New Year's Eve is going to look like for 2021. Woo, my Lord, talking about a party. We're going to celebrate getting this year behind us. So there are more miracles available. More of God's goodness is available. More peace is here for every troubled season, or it's more healing that you need, or more salvation that we need, or more of God's presence, or more of God's anointing, more of His grace. Always there is more available. But fear shuts us down. Fear shuts us down. Faith, on the other hand, opens us up to receive more of what God has for our lives. I'm just going to work through this word for a few moments. I know I'm throwing a lot at you last week and this week, and I'm heavily noted. I've got more notes than I normally do. I just want to get this right and say this right, because I believe this is a tipping point for our church. This is a tipping point for our faith individually. And if we can get this word in us, and it caused the transformation, and it caused the reset that we need for our faith, we are going to see a miraculous next few months if we will get this in our spirit. Fear shuts us down, but faith opens us up to receive more of what God has for us. We all want more, but often we are wanting God to give us more of what we have currently. More of the same. We want more, but we want more as is. We want more of what we are familiar with. We want more of what we are accustomed to. More of what we are used to. We want more good. And God is saying, no, I'm wanting to give you better. Yeah, but I just want more good. I'll be satisfied if you just keep me at that level. And God is saying, no, I need to make that level just a little bit uncomfortable. I need to get you just a little bit dissatisfied with that level so that you will start looking. What else? Why am I dissatisfied with this? I'm looking for something more. And then God said, now I've got your attention. Because good is not all there is. There is better, and there is best. And I want you to experience everything that I have for you, because God is wanting to give me more of what I don't have. You're thinking. I can hear you thinking. Some of y'all make noise when you think. I can hear you thinking. The idea is this: replenished supply. Got a favorite lotion or a favorite soap? Maybe you got a favorite motor oil. Let me make sure I'm inclusive of the men. You get to the bottom of the barrel. I just got to go back and get more. But have you found in this season that some of your favorite things, they are out of them. Some of your favorite things, they don't have them. They don't know if they're ever going to get them back. And you're saying, but wait a minute, this is the perfume I've used for 30 years. This is the lotion I've used for the last 15 years. And the little lady is saying, hey, I've got this other one that's really, it's actually better. I've got one, it's the new and improved version. We're not reordering that good stuff anymore because there's something better. And you're over here saying, no, the good is what I'm familiar with. I don't want to change brands. I don't want to change bottles. I don't want them to give me a new and improved look or update the graphic or the font on the jar. I just want the same thing that I've always had. And we can't be convinced that there is something better for us. Now apply that natural example that you know is true in your life. You know online I'm telling the truth today. Apply that to your spiritual needs. Ooh, it's amazing how true that becomes. When God begins to push us out of the familiar, out of the comfortable, out of the this is the way we've always done it. When God begins to nudge us out of good and says, I have something better for you. I want to move you toward the best that I have for your life. And we go kicking and screaming, refusing the better of God. I'm teaching good. So I'm going to give you the first thing. Let me give you the first thing to focus on for a new you in a new season. Number one, refuse to settle where God hasn't settled. Refuse to settle where God hasn't settled. If you're online today, write that down somewhere. Refuse to settle where God hasn't settled. I'm going to skip to the end of this parable and then work my way backwards because I know we want more of the old and God wants to pour out something new, and that's why Jesus deals with our preferences. Deals with our preferences. Verse 39, and no one after drinking old wine desires new wine, for they say the old is good. You see, if God worked through the preferences of people, we would be sacrificing animals this morning instead of singing awesome worship songs. You got to be a student of the Word to really catch that, because that's the way they worshiped in the Old Testament. They didn't sing, "There is a move." They didn't sing the powerful songs that our team led us in. Did they know they brought in doves and bullocks and goats, and they split them from stem to stern and let their blood spill out on the altar? That is what they called worship. And they couldn't see any way beyond that. That's the way you have to worship. So if this was about preference, we would still be doing it that way. That's still how the church would be functioning, because people preferred the old religious system. When given a preference between Jesus and a thief named Barabbas, the people preferred Barabbas. Because our preferences, that's not what we need to be focused on. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, a person may have many ideas concerning God's plan for his life, but only the designs of his purpose will succeed in the end. You can have a lot of preferences, you can have a lot of ideas, but it's only going to be the designs of your purpose. It's only what you do about your purpose. Those things are the only things that will succeed. I'm choosing purpose over preference. Because, see, we would prefer to do relationships our way. We would prefer to love people the way we think they deserve to be loved. You catching this idea that you can't do it according to your preference, because sometimes your preference is way out of bounds. Sometimes you want to revenge people. Sometimes you want to hurt people. Sometimes you want to abuse people. So we don't do things according to our preference. We do things according to God's way. And the same is true for church. We all have preferences when it comes to church. Some of the most bitter and angry people, God bless them, are those who built church around preference instead of purpose. I don't like that music. I prefer this music. And if you don't sing the music I prefer, I'm going to leave this church. That's what happens when we build church around preference instead of around purpose. Never mind that the song is giving glory to God or creating a holy hush of praise, worship. We want things according to our preference. But hear me, God hasn't promised that my preference will prosper. He said that his plans for my life will prosper. My preferences will constantly cause me to look back for what I liked best in the past. But purpose will lead me into God's best for my life. So that leads me to number two: choose purpose over preference. Choose purpose over preference. It's been rightly stated that you cannot pour new wine into old thinking. If I say I want more of what I have, God is saying, no, I want you to have more of what you don't have. And it's easy for me to become fearful when God removes what I have to prepare me for what I don't have. But he's telling us over and over that old thoughts have to die before fresh faith can rise in our lives. And often the struggle isn't necessarily a job ending or a relationship ending or a season ending. Or maybe we turned 40 and our 30s ended. Usually, it's usually not the job or the relationship or the season or the decade. It's the thought that was attached to those things. I'll be turning 48 in just another few weeks. Let me tell you something. 48 does not bother me nearly as much as 40 bothered me. 48 is 8 years removed from 40. If it was the age, it would bother me every year I've gained since turning 40. But no, that's not the issue. It's not the time. It was the thoughts that I had attached. I'm in my 30s. I'm young. I got plenty of time to save for retirement. I got plenty of time to grow up. I got plenty of time. Well, now I'm a middle-aged man. Don't tell anybody I said that. I still want to believe in my mind that I'm a kid, but I can't. I have to adult. I have to get up and provide. I have to get up and work. So we attach these ideas. We attach these thoughts. Let me go a little further and break this down a little more. We start a new job thinking we're going to get a fresh start. But the problem is we take the dislike we had for our previous boss into the new job. And before long, you're complaining about that job, and it's not the job after all. Why? Because time can march on and people never change. The world around us can change, but we don't change. So if whatever season ended in your life, is it really over for you? Or are you taking old thoughts into new seasons? Because if you're not careful, you'll end the bad relationship, but the bad thoughts and ideas will go with you into the next relationship. You leave the last church, but you bring the last church into the new church. And you realize it's old thought patterns that really need to die so that God can pour out new wine in your life. So much of this is centered around our thought life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought, every single thought captive. Do you know how many thoughts you have a day? They tell us we have between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day. Take every one of those captive. Make them obedient to Christ. Some of you just jumped off the bridge. You're like, nope. No hope for me. My thoughts run wild and crazy, and man, it's just, I can't control. It's just out there. And I mean, you know, it's just wild. Take every thought. You're right. It is impossible for me to do on my own. That is why I need the help of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's why I need a daily diet of God's word in my life. I feel like this word is helping someone today because you're overwhelmed by the negative thoughts or the perverse thoughts or the jealous thoughts or the addictive thoughts or just the crazy thoughts that you feel and think sometimes, and you think there's something wrong with you. No, everybody's got 60 or 80,000 thoughts. Not all of them are good. Not all of them are wholesome. Not all of them are right. So we have to start managing where our thoughts are coming from. Maybe we tune out some TV. Maybe we stop watching these kinds of movies. Maybe we turn off certain news, or maybe we make sure that there is a proper balance of what we take in so that we can help rein in our thought life. But hear me, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not in the Word of God, and don't just read anything on your Facebook, don't just trust anybody that drops something into your inbox. You got to make sure that you are rightly dividing the Word. Because we've gotten to where we're picking podcasts based on good graphics, because we have become spiritually that superficial that if it's presented in the power colors, it draws our mind in, and we just start listening to something that's actually false doctrine. Ooh, I'm in another series. Just stay tuned. I'll get there too. Got to make sure that you're in the Word of God. Because it seems impossible to make my thoughts obedient to Christ without the power of God's Word in my life. Hebrews 4 and 12, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word isn't something I put in my brain. It's something that I put in my heart. Romans 12 and 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Because the Word of God isn't given to me just for information, it's given to me for transformation. All right, we've worked through the hard stuff. We've been down in the weeds for the last few moments. So let's start building this back up again to understand how I can be a new me in a new season, and you can be a new you in a new season. I put God's word in my heart so that the thoughts coming out of me are building faith in God's word and faith in His promises. I'm tempted to ask by a show of hands. Don't raise your hand, but I would wonder how many people have struggled with negativity or even anxiety in the last few weeks. They tell us that more suicides are happening during this pandemic. More people are being tempted, or now studies are saying more people have thought about doing this in the last few weeks than ever before. The numbers are off the charts because people do not know what to do with themselves. They don't have the normal distractions, even if the distraction is not healthy or wholesome. They don't have the normal distractions that they would typically give themselves to combat that. They're just sitting and they're being overcome with this negativity. So I have to allow God to transform, put this word in my heart so that the 60 or 80,000 thoughts that I have do not overwhelm me or overtake me, because I'm looking for a new me in this new season. And hear me today, I can have the right information and the wrong spirit. The right information with the wrong spirit gives me knowledge, but it leaves me without wisdom. Knowledge is great, but what we need is wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Here's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing all about Satan, demons, evil, wickedness. Wisdom is not sharing that with the cashier when she asks you whether or not you have a coupon. Let me help somebody else. Knowledge is knowing a girl has gained a few pounds. Wisdom is keeping your mouth shut about it. You see, we're in an information age, which means we are knowledge rich, but wisdom poor. That's why Jesus said we needed new wineskins. He didn't say we needed a different type of container. He just said we needed a fresh container. I'm coming to a close. Old wineskins couldn't expand and wouldn't be able to receive the wine. New wineskins are flexible. When that wine breathes, when it moves, when it becomes. Kristen, I know she's watching online today, but she's got a new plant. I think it's called a fiddle fig. I think that's right. I'm not sure. There's no figs on it. I don't know where the fig. It's just a pretty plant. But see, the history for Hoopers is, well, the history for Kristen Hooper is that she kills plants. They don't live under her care. So she's very serious about this plant. She's named him Bob, and she talks to him every day. And it's whole conversations, and they're out of town seeing my mother-in-law for a few days, and so I came in the other day, and all of Bob's leaves, they normally stand tall and beautiful, all of Bob's leaves were spilled over and drooping, and Bob looked very sad. And against my better judgment, I began to talk to Bob. What do you need, dude? What's wrong with you? How can we fix this? I've done this twice now with Bob. It's amazing. Give Bob some water, and And while I'm standing there watching him, I'm officially lost. I just called him a him. While I'm looking after giving the plant water, while I am watching him with the naked eye, I can see his leaves begin to rise again. It's the craziest thing. It's fascinating. Maybe it's the 48 thing. I love to water grass and just stand there and watch it. You entertained right now? Yes. This is fantastic. This is so cool. Watching grass get watered. Things come to life, but it's fascinating to watch Bob and his leaves just when you give the plant what it needs, when you give it what it wants, it just begins to rise. And right now, Bob, his leaves are standing tall and proud, and he's feeling good, and he's well hydrated. It's the same thing with our lives. See, God is not looking for a new container. We are the container. We are whom God wants to use and who he wants to work through. He wants to fulfill his purpose in us. I get so tired of this constant leadership pushing that says, oh, you know, those people, they don't want your vision. Just, you know, get rid of them. Say, no. I believe that God sent you, that God put you in this house, that God has purposed your life. We just have to get our thoughts in alignment. We just have to get ourselves in a place of flexibility so that God can use us and pour the new into us. Because if we will be flexible to receive, blessed are the flexible, for they will not get bent out of shape. Leads us to number three, and where we close today. You need to flex your faith. Flex your faith. God has a fresh word for us. Not because I need more information, but because I need a heart transformation. That's why I need God. God has a fresh outpouring of his presence for us in response to our desire for more. One builds upon the other. God has fresh grace for me to step into this new season. I know you feel overwhelmed sometimes. I feel overwhelmed sometimes. We have educators in the room. They're overwhelmed. They don't know. We're all frustrated because we don't have information. They don't have information either. But guess what? There is grace for the next season that you're stepping into. Some of you have jobs that are doing all kinds of weird things right now. They told us when this pandemic hit that companies were rethinking people even coming to the offices. They think people are more productive at home. Guess what? A few months later, they're saying, no, scratch that. No, forget that. We want your hips back in the office. So we have to flex our faith. And I realize that when God has a new season for me, he also has grace for that season. He's not going to put more on us than we can bear. Not going to give us more than we can handle. It just feels that way because the highest percentage of our 60 or 80,000 thoughts a day are given to the negative. And if I make my thoughts obedient, I got young people in this room, train your brain now, choose now. Discipline yourself now. The music can't be all one genre. It can't be all one flavor. Can't just be today's artist. You gotta mix some Sammy in there and some Frank and You gotta mix some variety. So that your life remains flexible and it's always ready for the new that God has for it. So how do we respond to this? How do we challenge this? We'll tell you where we start. We start with repentance. Really? Yeah. Yeah. You see, when Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom, he preached that it should be met with repentance. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. It doesn't have to be a scary thing. It doesn't require a car wreck story to scare you into changing your mind. That's what repentance means. It means turning from, changing your mind. It's that simple. So what would happen if I would repent or change my mind when I have chosen preference over God's purpose? Or when I have wanted my will instead of God's will? Or when I have held on to thoughts and have not allowed the Word of God to transform my heart? Let's repent and change our minds. You may be watching online today. You may be sitting in this room today. Beautiful crowd here today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being online today. Our church is strong. We are God's church and God's people. But we want to be ready for this new season. Anybody want to be ready? Anybody want to be ready? We'll come up for air next week. We'll lighten up next week. Father, today I repent. Today I lead people watching online, people in this room, I lead them in this prayer of repentance. This opportunity to change our minds, to bring our thoughts into captivity. I don't know who it is, but there's a few people that are going to run with this word this week, and they're going to have a better week. They're going to see the evidence of it this time next Sunday, because they're going to realize what taking their thoughts captive and making them obedient to you, they're going to see the fruit of that, the peace, the joy, the happiness that comes from making our thoughts obey you. I pray today, if I've wanted my preference over your purpose, I repent. I repent today if I've craved my sin more than I've craved your righteousness. We're all guilty. We've all been there. The question is, who is ready to change their mind? I pray for people online in this room that are changing their mind right now. Somebody may be in for the fight of their lives. Someone may be trying to break the chain of addiction. Someone may be trying to get untangled from an unhealthy relationship that's just bringing them down. But today, Lord, I begin the process. Today, I take captivity of the thoughts in my life and make them obedient to you. getting in your word. I'm allowing worship and praise to flood my heart and my mind. This week, Lord, I will worship before I Facebook. I will read before I watch. I'll pray before I worry. Change my mind. Because it's a new me in a new season. In Jesus' name. Someone say, in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. If you're watching online, just amen. Just type, I changed my mind in the chat. Today, if you need to follow Jesus, if you need to say yes to Jesus, if you're in this room and you need to say yes to Jesus, say yes to Jesus. Change your mind. That same prayer you just prayed with me, it is sufficient. Lord, I repent of my sin. I renounce the ways of the world and I take up my cross to follow you. I say yes to your grace, your mercy, salvation in my life. If you're praying that with me, if you believe that with me, I believe God's begun a good work in you. He's going to be faithful to complete that work in your life. Can we give God praise today? Thank you, Jesus.